Acts 13. And then you can turn over to Romans 3. Acts 13, let's look at verse 39. This is text and title. Acts 13:39. I hope the chief of sinners is here this morning. This will be good news. By him, and by him, by Christ, all that believe are justified from all things. Justified from all things, in which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Now turn over to Romans chapter 3 with me. You know, the truth is so foreign today and so perverted. All talk, if you try to talk about God as he is, holy, sovereign, just, judge, as the scriptures declares him. Men, that's strange to the ears of men today. They only know of God in one way. And if you start talking about the utter sinfulness of man, helplessness, depravity, corruption of man, like the Bible talks about us, people, they don't go for that. That's just so, they don't hear that anymore. And so, the gospel of sovereign mercy, you don't even hear that term anymore. But the gospel of sovereign electing mercy, sovereign grace, sovereign Christ, it's only good news to an old sinner. But people don't hear that anymore. The Word of God is so plain. The Word of God, the reason they're changing it today is because it's too shocking. You know that? The Word of God's too plain. It's too shocking. It's too offensive. It's called a sharp, two-edged sword. I mean, that cuts you to the heart. That's what it's designed to do. The Word of God is so plain, and it describes mankind. Now listen, it describes mankind in language that's absolutely an offense to the flesh. It's language we don't use every day. And it doesn't have anything. I thought about this very carefully before I said it. But the Word of God doesn't have anything good to say about man. Nothing good to say about man. Very plain language about man, how he really is. Here, look at Romans 3. Look at this. It says in verse 9, Paul, now he just described irreligious, pagan, idolatrous, vile, like Sodomites in chapter 1, didn't he? I mean, the scum, people living in all sorts of wicked filth, open. And then chapter 2, he describes religious people who've never, you know, I mean, they're just pure and according. And then here in chapter 3, Paul says, are we? You know, Paul said, I'm a Pharisee, a Jew, and religious. Said, are we better than those wicked Sodomites? And look at it, verse 9. Are we better than they? No. And no one. We've before proved both Jew and Gentiles are all under sin. That is, under the grips of, the bondage of, sin. Verse 10. As it is written. Psalm 14. He's going to go on to quote Psalm 14. That there is none righteous. No, not one. There's none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. Well, he's seeking the Lord. No. There is none, verse 12, they're all gone out of the way. They're together. Put them all together. They become unprofitable. The word is filthy. The word is stinking. That's what Psalm 14 describes all mankind put together before God. I look at it yourself sometimes. Psalm 4. Altogether become filthy. The word is stinking. Smell bad to God. The whole human race stinks to God. Is that plain language? Have you ever heard a preacher in your life, other than here and Grace Pulpit, stand up on the radio, on TV, or any one of these big revivals and said, everybody stinks to God? Have you? That's what Scripture says about mankind. I'm not talking about the man down the gutter. Am I better than he? No, in no wise. They're all stinking. Well, look at verse 13. Now it goes on. Verse 13 goes on to use absolutely. Are you with me? Read verse 13 with me. It goes on to use Romans 3:13. More descriptive language yet. It says, their throat, who's he talking about? Everybody. They're all together. All together, their throat is an open grave. Why are you doing this, Paul? Why are you preaching like this to these good Christian folk? Because they ain't no good. If they're good Christian folk, they don't need Christ. If they're good folk, they don't need a righteousness. This is what Paul's going to say. Their throat's an open sepulcher. Look at this. With their tongues, they've used deceit. Poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Feet swift to shed blood, destruction and misery. Oh, boy. Way of peace, no fear of God, verse 18. There's no fear of God. Verse 19, so he concludes. Now we know that what things soever the law or the word of God saith, it saith to them who are under it, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world is what? Guilty before God. Guilty. Of what? Of everything. Everything. If you have a margin, you have a marginal reference, is it a little number beside guilty? If you do, it says what? What does it say? There's a margin. Subject to the judgment of God. God loves you. No, subject to the judgment of God. Doesn't say God loves them all. Anyway, no, subject to the judgment of God. Filthy, stinky. That's the way the Scripture describes man. None. Guilty, vile, wretched. Isaiah, you go back to Isaiah chapter 1. Deborah, Isaiah, the prophet, started out his whole preaching with this. Y'all are like, everybody's like wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Oh, this is Sunday morning. That's what God's Word says about mankind. And God needs you. A putrefying sore.
And he goes on to say, listen to me, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. I mean, the best man to ever live got even of no use, really, to God. Got to need. Even his righteousness. Now, listen, I've never said this publicly from this pulpit, but I'm going to say it. Because this is the language of Scripture. All our righteousnesses are as menstruous rags. That's shocking. That's what the Word of God says. That's Isaiah 6:14 in the John. Man's pretty bad, isn't he? We don't know the half of it. We don't know the half of it. Well, what can we do? What can we do? Isaiah 64 says, well, man's a vile creature. And it's no wonder God's going to burn this planet up. I mean, the Scriptures talks about God's going to purge it with fire, just burn it up. You remember that story of me burning all those ants up? See, what a lovely little creature. How could you do so? Ants. Man, there's a trillion of them. What's the Scripture say about man? What's he esteemed as? Grasshoppers. That's the language of Scripture, is it not? Those who have read it, they know. Dust. That's right. Isaiah chapter 1, he says the ox. He says the ox is more profitable. The ox knows his owner. The ass, a dumb old donkey, knows his master's crib. He said, the very people I created, supposed to be a higher life form, they don't even believe there is a creator. Refuse to acknowledge that he is creator. Would rather believe that man came from a worm. No, this is how ignorant they are. The judgment's so backward. You see, man came from God, but he turned into a worm. You see, that's how ignorant man has become. His judgment so backward. They think we came from a worm. No, we got it backward. We turned into one. Turned into an ape. Monkey see, monkey do, you know. The ox knows his own. Is it any wonder? Now listen to me. Why are you saying all that? Because the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the holy. This is Proverbs 9:10. The knowledge of the holy is understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. And somebody that God's going to save, somebody that God purposes to save, this is what he reveals to them. He reveals that he's so high and holy and righteous and just that he can't have anything to do with it. There's nothing on this earth that he needs. Nobody. Man at his best state. And he's so high and holy and righteous that even man's best deeds that he perform are just like discarded old rags that you... Man. That's what every single person God is going to say understands. Not that God needs us. No. They become poor, wretched, miserable, blind, naked, needy sinners. Sinners, Joe. Sinners. Not just got some mistakes. Sinners. Deserving the wrath and the judgment of God. Sinners. Deserving of hell. Deserving to be wiped out. deserve to be cast out of God's sight. Sinners. The way the Scriptures describe sinners. Stinking. Maggots. All right. But God is merciful. God's so merciful. What's He need with worms? What's He need? Nothing. But some worms need Him. And He doesn't have to show mercy. No, He doesn't have to show mercy. But God's going to show His mercy. Why? To the praise of His glory. This is part of His glorious character. You see, you mean that God just saved people just to show off? Yep. He is the supreme ego. He has a right to it. He's the only one worthy. And He's going to display His glorious character, His justice, His holiness, His sovereignty. Yes, He's going to display it in the death of the wicked, in the destruction of all flesh on this planet. He's going to display His holiness and His justice and His righteous indignation against sin, His love for righteousness and His hatred toward evil. He's going to wipe it out, and He's going to get the glory to this part of His character. But He's merciful. He's going to show mercy. Now, mercy means, Dan, mercy means not getting what you deserve. Mercy is always sovereign. Mercy's, you know, if you get it, it was sovereignly shown to you. Or it wouldn't be mercy. You understand? If you deserve mercy, then it's not mercy. If I ought to show mercy to you, it's not mercy. Does that make sense? Grace is always sovereign. It's a gift. A gift. It's either a sovereign gift or it's you earned it. You did something to make me give it to you. It's either grace or it's works. It's not both. And God, in display of His sovereign mercy and grace, chose to save some worms. He's going to be merciful. And the Romans 9 calls them vessels of mercy. Vessels of mercy. They're full of sin. Sinful. And He empties them. Fills them full of mercy. How? Well, and more on that later. But the first thing, like I said, the first thing He teaches, all these vessels of mercy He purposed to save, He chose to save, is the fear of the Lord, the knowledge of the holy. Alright? And the second thing He teaches us, we're all as unclean thing. An unclean thing. We say, I'm sinful, unworthy, guilty, poor, wretched, needy. This is the language of all of God's people. Brother Stan, this is the language. Of David, a man after God's own heart. Of Jacob and all the sons of Jacob. When you ask them about themselves, ask every single person God saved, what do you think about yourself? Sam, what do you think about yourself? Huh? No good. That's good. And I've got some good news for you. Now, I've got some good news for you. Now, look over at 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6. Turn over there quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, listen. Not everybody in here. As a matter of fact, probably few in here actually lived in open immorality, open wickedness, drunkenness and whoremongering and filthy and vile perversions. Probably very few in here. But to be a sinner, you don't have to literally wallow in the gutter. But you'll feel like you have. You'll know it. You'll see the gutter in your own heart, the blackness in your own. You don't have to wallow in the gutter for the filth to come out. You see, you'll feel the seeds of hell in your own heart. And the only reason, listen now, the only reason that the purest woman in here has not sold her body is because God Almighty has restrained you. Sovereign restraining grace. That's right. But you know, some have actually lived in filth. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves of mankind, as homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. They're not going to be there. These people that talk about, well, that's the way I am. That's the way God created me. I'm going to stay like this, and yet God loves me anyway. No, sir. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10 says, God's going to damn them all. He's going to burn them up. Yes, He is. But, verse 11, such were some of them. But God is rich in mercy. They all ought to be. Burn them up, shouldn't they? Oh, you're filthy, vile, wretched. Look at them laying and burn them up. I'm going to, but not all of them. I'm going to show the riches of my mercy. See Lot? Won't spare him. Ah, such were some of you, but you're washed. Look at this. You're washed, verse 11. You're sanctified. You're justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Doesn't say, because you did this, because you did that, because you cleaned yourself up, because you turned over a new leaf, because you did. Doesn't say that, does it? Said, you were washed. Somebody washed you. Not because you chose Him. No, you sanctified. Somebody chose you. Not because you decided to let God in your. No, you were justified. Somebody else did it for you, you worm. Salvation's of the Lord. All in the name of Jesus Christ. Back to the text. Acts 13. Alright? So, what I'm trying to say is whether you actually lived in open wickedness or committal of wickedness or not, every one of God's people know how sinful they are. Or they know they're no good. Right? You know, if anything, now listen to me, and grace preachers have made this statement for years, that the thing, the biggest obstacle in somebody coming to Christ is not their sins. No, Christ never turned away one, I mean the vilest of the vile. I mean seven devils. I mean scumbags. But it's the righteous. It's the religious. They wouldn't come to Him. Don't need Him. If my sister were here today, she would tell you. She grew up a model child. A just nothing but a joy and a pleasure to her parents, and never at least got caught doing anything, and just lived, you know, always in church. Just it was a real obstacle. She's going to have to know she's a sinner. She never wallowed in open sin like her prodigal brother, but she God finally showed her, opened her heart, showed her self-righteous sin.
that the propensity is there. That sin is not just committing something, it's thinking it. Huh? You didn't have to act like you thought it though, haven't you? Huh? Christ said it. Christ opened the law in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he said, you've heard it said of them, thou shalt not kill. He said, I say unto you, if you've ever looked at somebody in anger, you're guilty. You've killed them. Have you ever really, literally thought about just beating the tar out of somebody? Have you? Come on now. Come on now. What about the one sitting beside you? Huh? Come on now. We laugh and because we know it's so. Well, if God unleashed us, you know, why do people divorce and why do people not get along? For the life of me, I don't understand why people stay together. Except grace of God. You take a male and a female. I mean, we're talking about north and south. We're talking about opposite ends of the pole. Like one fellow said, females ain't hearty like other people at all. And you stick them together 24 hours a day. Mary, it's a miracle of God's grace that they stay together. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years for a life. It's going to take grace. Sovereign, restraining, constraining. Grace is going to take Christ being formed in them till they both quit being like a male and a female and start being like Christ. Till they both are being conformed to the image of Christ. Now, I don't have any trouble. I don't understand why people separate. Not at all. That's the reason I tell you young girls and young men, it'll be a miracle. If you marry an unbeliever, it'll be a miracle you stay together. It'll be a miracle. And you may wish you hadn't. Ah, boy. Well, such for some of you. And all of these, all people, all that God purposed to say, they know and they feel their sinfulness. They're guilty and ashamed of it. That's the Holy Spirit conviction. And that's what makes the gospel good news, you see. It's good news. It's not news if you cease being a sinner. Is it? Let me ask y'all something. Do y'all read last week's paper? Anybody here get out last week's paper and read it? You going to read it today? What about tomorrow? That's old news. That's not news at all. It's old. It's a past. Sinners need to hear the same thing every time. The gospel is called good news. Why? Because we're going to remain sinners till the day we die. Sinners. Ask David. David, surely you're over this thing now. David, surely you've been progressively sanctified, haven't you, David? Aren't you leaving the victorious life, David? You're 51 years old. My loins are filled with a loathsome disease. My sin is over my head. God's going to be just when he speaks, clear when he judges. Now look at this. Here's good news. In our text, Acts 13 says this, verse 32. We declare unto you glad tidings. Everything I've said thus far has just been a bleak picture, isn't it? Bad. Glad tidings. And like I said, it's only good news to a sinner, the bad people. That's why people aren't filling this building up. That's why people don't need the gospel of God's sovereign mercy and grace. They reject it because they're not sinners. Nobody's a sinner anymore. Preachers aren't preaching about sin. People aren't sinners.
Preachers aren't preaching a holy and righteous and just God who by no means clear the guilty and judgment passing upon all flesh. No. God's love. And so people aren't in trouble. They aren't sinners.
But you're hearing about a God that will by no means clear the guilty.
Well, the good news here is verse 38, "Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, Jesus the Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin." The forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. Total, complete, putting away, pardoning, remembering no more of it all. Look at verse 39. "And by him," now get this now, if you don't get any words, get this right here, two words, "by him." By him, I say. "All that believe are justified from all things." You know why the gospel doesn't mean it's not dear to you every time you hear it? You're not feeling your sin. You're not feeling your sin. I guarantee if a person came in here right now, say a woman who lived and came in right now and God opened her heart and revealed full, free, complete. Blind man receives sight. You'll hear him shout, "Oh, son of David." By him, all that believe are justified from all things. What in your past bothers you? What is it in your past? Anything in your past? Have you? All things. Justified. Back in Romans 3, and I'll quit with it. Romans 3, turn back there very quickly, okay? Romans 3, it's only been 30 minutes. "By him all the believers justified." What does justified mean? It means to be declared holy, righteous. Declared righteous, innocent of any wrongdoing. Nothing on your record. No charge at all. I don't know if anybody in here has ever been guilty and stood in a court of law, but it's the worst feeling. You'll never know a feeling like that. You'll never know a feeling. You get a little inkling of it when you see that blue light in your mirror. Everybody in here has seen that. Come on. Everybody in here has seen that blue light or red light in your mirror. What goes through your caught. Guilty. It's a sinking thing. You ever felt that sink? Oh. And here's a glorious picture. There's times when I go by the law and he's sitting there and I feel that feeling. And I might not even be speaking. Oh. But there's no condemnation. But if you've ever stood, I'm telling you, if you ever really stood in a court of law, guilty, I mean guilty, and the judge could absolutely throw the book at you and lock you up and throw away the key. And to hear him say, "No charges." You'll feel joy like you've never felt before. You will not walk out of that place. You will fly. That's what I'm saying. The gospel is only good news to sinners. All that believe are justified from your past is wiped out. No charge whatsoever. Clean. clear, gone. Remember it no more. Let's look for it. Can't be found. Because God's not go hunting, is He, John? Justified. Declared innocent. Wait a minute here. How could He do that? Look here at Romans 3. Because all have sinned, verse 23, and come short. Yeah, but being justified freely. Freely. He just did it. How can He do that? Because He's God, that's how. He did it freely, but surely I got to do something. No, you can't do anything. But God can. He's the judge. You know that is Jim Gilmore, is that our judge? Our governor? Is that his name? Gilmore? Are you Virginians? Jim Gilmore, isn't it? Somebody. Jim Gilmore can, there can be a criminal on death row, and he can call them and say, turn him loose. You know that? Why? He's the governor. Bill Clinton can call anywhere, anytime, and say anything he wants. Turn him loose. But he's guilty. This is the president. Say, turn him loose. How can he do that? He's God. Well, but wait a minute. Now, he did it through the redemption that's in Christ. Now, we go scot free if somebody else did it. You know where that story came from? There's a story. Brother Walter Gruber told this story. This is true. True story. Over in Scotland years ago, there was a mayor of a town, a mayor and a judge and a jury and everything. And he was known for his justice and his strictness to the law. Fair, but just anyway. He had a son who committed some horrible crime. People loved the judge so much. They loved him and esteemed him so highly that they caught his son doing it, and they wanted to turn him free, and they did. They turned him loose. The local constable and all that turned the son loose. Early the next morning, the whole town was awakened by a bell ringing. A bell ringing. And they all went out to the center of town, and there stood the judge, the mayor, up on the gallows, ringing the bell, his son standing beside him with a rope around his neck. And he said, that you might know that I'm a just judge, and nobody goes free, the guilty, not even my son. Hung his son. It's true still. This is truer still. Why did Jesus Christ come and die like He died? Why was His beard ripped out? Why was His head beaten to a bloody blue pulp? That's what God thinks of us. Sin. And I know what God thinks of sin. I've tried to describe it in all this language of Scripture. There's one thing that's adequately described it. The cross. That's what God thinks of sin. And Barbara, we deserve to hang naked in front of the universe and scoffed at and brutally murdered. Is that too rough? That's why Jesus Christ did that. That's why He did that. He was made sin for us. The Scriptures talks about Him being made sin. God God putting on him the iniquity of us all. All the iniquity. John Davis. All the iniquities of John Davis, that hellion, placed on Christ. Is there anything, we love to see movies. I love to see movies where that bad guys are brought to justice. That's the reason I love good, clean, violent movies. Like the old westerns, like Clint Eastwood. Now, those were good, clean violence. Bad guys got killed. Good guys won. Isn't that right? Good, clean violence. You knew the good guys going to get in the end, and bad guys are all going to get. Now listen, is there anything more repulsive, more reviling to you to think of than an innocent person being charged and being punished? That's awful. It makes your blood boil, doesn't it? An innocent victim. And a guilty man going scot-free. Lord, don't let... Get him! Get him! He's free. Oh, no, you can't do that. Get him! No, he's free. That's exactly what the gospel says. Well, I got to quit. Look at verse here in Romans 3. It says in verse 25... All right. This is what the scriptures describes, that bloody scene, whom God set forth. Verse 25. God hung on a tree to be a propitiation. People, we get the word pitch, tar. God covered these old sinful souls with the very blood of His own Son. That's exactly what He did. Through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness. For the remission of sins, them that are past, sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time, His righteousness, Christ's righteousness, all that He did, the good He did, was transferred to us and our sins to Him, that He might be just. God punished me. Scripture says God will by no means clear the guilty. God can't justify a guilty man. He just can't do it and be God. He's a fair judge. He cannot let a guilty sinner go. He can't do it. He'll hang him. He got to be just. Well, this is how He did it. He killed His Son instead of, you see, just and yet justifier. That's the reason God has to let me go free. I was crucified with Christ. That's the reason nobody that Christ died for can go to hell. Can't do it. God's justified. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Huh? God justified. God justified. Christ died. And you know, all the way through the scriptures, he gives illustrations. Illustrations. Listen to this, and you get a blessing, okay? I'm almost finished. All the way through scriptures, He gives illustration of how they justify from all things. All things. I'm talking about past, present. What about the sin in the future? We mean, what about if? We mean if. Noah. Let me give you a few illustrations from scripture. All right? Noah. God saved 8 people on the whole planet. Let's say God destroyed this whole planet right now and saved me, Mindy, Hannah, Joe, Nancy, Dan and Sherry. 8 people. One more. Say He saved us. All right? Destroyed the whole planet. And we deserve it, Stan. We deserve it, too. Why? Stan, Sherry, you even better than who? Ed and Jeanette? No. All right. Let's say Stan, right after we were saved, Stan went out and got vilely drunk. And this is what Noah did, and was laying around naked. Justified from all things. How can he be he's a sinner. He's capable of doing everything, anything. Lot. You never knew Lot from the rest of the people in Sodom. You never know. You want to stay there, didn't you, Sharon? You never know Lot was a saved man. His son-in-laws, after he, you know, conviction came that judgment was coming, Lot said, "Hey, we got to get out of here. God's going to..." They laughed at him. "Well, we've never heard this before, Lot. Are you kidding? Well, you deserve to die like we do, Dad." God said, "Just Lot." He was justified. Jacob. You sons of Jacob. Mephibosheth. Peter. What did Judas do worse than Peter? Judas betrayed the Lord, didn't he? Huh? So did Peter. 3 times, Barbara, he said, "I don't know." And 3rd time, he cussed in front of a little girl. Absolutely covered. I don't even know him. Wish I never. I don't know him. Justified. Go tell Peter. Justified from all things. Mary Magdalene. Oh, justified. And the great, maybe the greatest example of all, is hanging on that cross beside him. Was a thief and a murderer. And in his dying breath, Jesus Christ justified him. All things. All things. How? Why? Well, the thief turned over a new leaf. He couldn't turn over nothing. He couldn't do nothing. He's hanging there. He's dead. He's a dead man. Why? Because the Lord looked at him and revealed who he was, and he believed. That was a gift. He said, "Lord, would you..." All he could think to say was, "Remember me in mercy and grace." Justified from all things. That's good news to a sinner. I know one fellow in heaven who's singing at the top of his lungs. "Yeah, justified, oh blessed thought." Well, cause people to live like the devil. They live like that anyway. You see? Oh, you'll cause people to live. They live more like the devil than they want to anyway. They feel it too much anyway. But you give people an excuse. No, you won't. You'll make them praise God, is what you'll do. You'll make them praise God. Yeah, you will. The only thing it will. All right. What hymn, Joe?